Welcome to Torah Dimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hindi Mendelowitz. Today we are continuing studying Sefer Tehillim in the series of the 15 Shir HaMalot. We are today in Mizmor Kuf Lamid Bet, that is chapter 132. It's a chapter of profound beauty, relevant to the context in which it was written, and giving us much insight into the power that's in the entire Sefer Tehillim, as experienced in David's life. Let's see how this plays out. We begin again, chapter 132, verse 1, Pasuk Aleph. Shir ha-ma'alos, zichor Hashem le-David, es kol unoso. A song to the ascents, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please remember for David all his suffering. What is the suffering we're alluding to over here? As Rashi points out, this is the suffering David himself undertook. This is the exertion, the pain David himself invested in his lifelong effort to locate the place of the Beit HaMikdash and to ultimately build it. As many of us know, this was David's burning ambition his entire life, but it's one that was frustrated and denied to him. David would not be the one to build the Beit HaMikdash, but he dedicated a tremendous amount of effort, a tremendous amount of toil, a tremendous amount of financial investment to locate again the place where the Beit HaMikdash would be, which, as we'll discuss shortly, was not known for much of David's recent history. And then, of course, to lay the preparations, the groundwork, for his son Shlomo to ultimately build the Beit. And as the Radak points out, while David HaMelech did not actually build the Beit HaMikdash, there were a number of significant episodes in his life which were very much tied to his preparation towards the Bayit. And as the Radak points out, the background over here, which is an episode recorded in Sefer Shmuel Bet, chapter 24, Perek Chav Dalet, where towards the end of his life, David HaMelech actually took a census. He counted Klal Yisrael in a way that was considered inappropriate in the eyes of Shemayim. He called din, he called strict judgment down upon Klal Yisrael by doing this counting. And in fact, the result was a magefa. The result was an epidemic, a disease that killed 70,000 Jews. Finally, after 70,000 had died, Gad Hanavi, the prophet Gad, who was David's spiritual guide for many chapters in his life, instructed David to bring a karban in a particular spot which was called the Goren, the silo of Aravna Hayavusi, a particular person named Aravna Hayavusi. We are told over there, Vaya'anehu ba'esh min hashamayim. The offering of David was accepted, and a fire came down to accept his karban, and it was with this karban that the epidemic was halted, that the death stopped. Whereupon David recognized, Ein ze ela bet Elokim, v'ze mizbeach le'ola li'Yisrael. And this raises a fascinating point in history, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised that when in Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael would build a bayit, Klal Yisrael would build a physical structure in which the Shekhinah would rest, b'makom asher yivchal, in the place Hashem would choose. From the time they entered Eretz Yisrael, under the leadership of Yoshua, throughout the Tkufa, the era of the Shoftim, the judges, an era of some 400 years, the spot in which the Beit HaMikdash would be located was not known. Yerushalayim was an ideal, was a concept, but it didn't actually exist on the map. And there was no one in Klal Yisrael who actually knew where exactly would be HaMakom Asher Yivchal, the place HaKadosh Baruch Hu would choose. When David's offering was accepted in the silo of Aravna Hayavusi, David understood that this would be the place of the Mizbeach around which would be constructed the Beit HaMikdash. It's tremendously moving to notice, and actually I remember learning and teaching this perek deep in the throes of our own pandemic, Corona. The idea here that struck me then, which I'm coming back to now with all of you, is the idea that while this was tremendously deathly, tremendously painful, 70,000 Jews who died, it was as a result of this epidemic that the secret that had been so longed for by Klal Yisrael, the spot of the Beit HaMikdash, was found. The message being, I believe, that through that which we suffer, we really, really never know the treasures that we find, or that which we accomplish on behalf of Klal Yisrael, through that which we endure. With that, says the Radak, David HaMelech composed this Perek of Tehillim, Zochor Hashem LeDavid. Though I will not be Zocha to actually build the Beit HaMikdash, says David, Ta'aleh Machshava Kima'aseh. The toil that I put in, the efforts that I put in, may they be considered as if I had built. And as the Malbim points out, not only was this composed at the moment that the Makom HaMizbeach was discovered, but David composed it also with an eye towards the future, that this would be the perek that would be said in the lifetime of his son Shlomo, who would finish the task and build the Beit HaMikdash. And when Shlomo HaMelech would actually culminate that construction effort and invite the Shechina to rest in the Beit HaMikdash he had built over the course of many years, by bringing the Aron Brit Hashem, bringing the Holy Ark, into the Kodesh HaKadashim, the Holy of Holies, this is the Perek that Shlomo HaMelech would say, composed by his father, who dedicated his entire life to preparing for that very moment. And David over here continues. We're in Pasuk Bet, verse 2. Asher nishba la Hashem, David who swore to Hashem, nadar la Avir Yaakov, promised to Avir Yaakov, to the strong one of Yaakov. An interesting term that's not used often in Tanakh. Yaakov is identified as Avir Yaakov, the strength of Yaakov. When Yaakov is called this name, Yaakov is called this name after he saw that he could overpower the Malach, the Tsar of Esav. And if he could overpower the Tsar of Esav, how much more so did he know he could overpower any other person? David HaMelech also finds throughout his life that through the strength of the God of Yaakov, he will have the ability to overcome anyone or any force that will challenge him. He also references Yaakov here because Yaakov also consecrated the place of the future Beit HaMikdash. After Yaakov has his dream of the ladder, where he sees the Malachim going up and down, he understands that this is a place that is holy, and he says, Yeh Beit Elokim, Vizeh Shar HaShamayim. Yaakov Avinu understood that this spot where he had his dream of the ladder on earth with its head reaching the heavens, this is the place, the gateway to heaven, the place of the future Mizbeach. Now, it seems that Yaakov Avinu was a person who knew the spot, but it's clear that he did not reveal this information to anybody. And again, as we said, it was unknown until the days of David HaMelech. And so it's here that David references Avil Yaakov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the strength of Yaakov. Yaakov being one who set the model for David in overcoming challenge. Yaakov as one who, preceding David, dedicated the spot of the future Beit HaMikdash. What is the promise that David made to Avil Yaakov, to the strength of Yaakov? David swore, Im avo bo'el beisi, im ele al er situai. I will not enter my dwelling, and I will not go to sleep in the bed that spread before me. Im etein shnas le'einai laf apai tnuma. I will not allow myself to sleep. Ad emtza makom la'ashem. Mishkanos la'avir Yaakov. I will have no peace, says David HaMelech, until I find the place where the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can rest. Mishkanos la'avir Yaakov. Resting places, in plural, for the strong one of Yaakov. And again, as the Radak points out, Mishkanos in plural, referring to the fact that there would in history be three Batei Mikdash, three temples, each of which would be the dwelling place of the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Ibn Ezra points out, the entire earth belongs to Hashem. But there are some places in which we can access His presence more closely. Vizeh Shal HaShamayim. This Mishkan, this temple, this Beit HaMikdash that would be built, which gave David no rest until he was zoche, he merited to locate it. This is the place that would parallel the Shal HaShemayim, the gate to the upper spheres. Hine, says David in Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Shema'anua be'efrasa, we have heard in Ephrat, the city from which David came, a place of nobility, Mitzanua b'steya'al. We always heard, there were rumors, we heard the story, that the Mishkan, which was now the temporary dwelling place for the Shechina, will not be permanent, that there will be a place that will remain forever. Mitzanua, we found it, b'steya'al. Again, in the field, as Radak points out, of Aravna Hayavusi. And once it will happen that those rumors will be founded, that we will indeed know the place, as happened in the life of David HaMelech, Navoa l'mishkinosav, once that place will be found, we will come, we will greet the Shechina in that place. Nishtachave lahadom raglav, we will bow down to the, so to speak, footstool of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Malbim points out, the footstool of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the place of the Beit HaMikdash, is positioned parallel to the Kisei HaKavod, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne of glory. Sof Hashba'ato Hi Beit HaMikdash. The footstool refers to the bottommost area of the influence directly of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, if Hashem's glory is most perceived in Shamayim, the hem of that glory rests in the Beit HaMikdash. We then come to Pasuk Chet, where, as the Radak points out, these next three psukim were actually sung by Shlomo HaMelech at the Chanukat Beit HaMikdash, when he was inviting HaKadosh Baruch Hu to move his Shechina, move his presence, into the temple he had built. Kuma Hashem liminuchatecha, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, arise to your resting place. Ata va'aron uzecha, you and the Aron, the Ark of your strength. Kohanecha yilbishu tzedek, your priests will clothe themselves in righteousness. V'chasidecha iraninu, and your devout ones will sing joyously. Ba'avor David avdecha, al tashev pnei mishichecha, for the sake of your servant David, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. And this too is a story of the life of David, as is brought by Chazal, Masechet Shabbat, Daf Lamed, Amud Aleph. After the chait of David and Bathsheba, David begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu for some public sign that his tshuva had been accepted and that he was now cleansed from whatever was his failing in that area. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded that there would be a sign, but the sign would not take place in the lifetime of David himself. Whereupon, in his own lifetime and then further after, there were those who were never fully convinced that David's tshuva had been completely accepted. In the days of his son Shlomo HaMelech, when David was no longer alive, we find this day of tremendous rejoicing, when the Beit HaMikdash was completed, when Shlomo brought the Aron from its temporary dwelling place in the Mishkan into the Beit HaMikdash, and the gates of the Beit HaMikdash remained closed and would not open for the Aron to enter. We are told in Sefer Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Vav, Pasuk Mem Bet, Shlomo HaMelech sang 24 rinanot, 24 songs, to encourage the gates to open, and they were refused. Finally, said Shlomo HaMelech over there, Hashem Elokim, al teshev pnei mishichecha, zachra lechasdei David avdecha. In the merit of my father David, who so yearned to finally see the completion of this bayit, in his honor will you open. And it was then in the schut of David HaMelech that the gates of the Beit HaMikdash opened to welcome the Aron, and thus to welcome the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The very public, very beautiful sign to all of Klal Yisrael of the greatness of the tshuva of David HaMelech. Continuing in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Nishpa Hashem le David. David swore through Natan Hanavi to David HaMelech, Emet lo yashuv mimena, mipri vitnecha ashis lechiseilach. Hashem swore to David a truth from which he would never retreat, which is that his descendants would forever have a place on the throne. How would we ensure that his descendants would forever remain on the throne? Pasuk Yud Bet. Im yishmeru vanecha brisi ve'edosi zo alamdem, gam b'nehem ad yeshvu l'chiseilach. Promises HaKadosh Baruch Hu to David HaMelech. I'll have a mechanism where as long as your children fulfill my covenant, as long as they remain faithful to my Torah and to leading Klal Yisrael in that way, this seed shall be theirs forever. And based on that, we do find in history where the kings of Yisrael descended into terrible levels of Avodah Zarah and ultimately were lost. The children of David were like the beloved children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he never let them stray too far. Where if they began to turn in the wrong direction, he quickly brought them back, sometimes through suffering, sometimes through hardship. But the love was there to keep Malchut Beit David on the right path so that they could hold on to the throne forever. Yud Gimel. Ki bachar Hashem b'tzion iva lemoshav lo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Tzion because he desired for himself to have a place there to rest. And just as he chose Tzion, he chose Malchut Beit David. Zos menuchasi ade'ad, po eshev ki ivisia, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once I rest in this place in the Beit HaMikdash, this is the place I desire, and there will be no other. I desire it. Tzeida barech avarech, her sustenance I will bless abundantly. In other words, as the Malbim explains, not only is the Beit HaMikdash the spiritual hub of Klal Yisrael, but it also becomes the center, the locus, from which all physical bounty emanates forth. Bracha emanates from the Beit HaMikdash, and that is the sign that the Shechina is there, as Rav Hirsch points out. Evyoneha aspi alechem, her needy I will satisfy with food. V'chohaneha al bishyesha, I will clothe her priests with salvation. V'chasideha ranin raninu, and her devout ones will sing joyous songs. Sham atzmiach keren leDavid, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is in this place because, again, the Beit HaMikdash and Malchut Beit David are inextricably linked. And it is at that place that the Keren of David, the eternal legacy, Mashiach, will sprout from David. Arachti ner limshichi. I have prepared a flame, a candle, for my anointed one, as the king always is the one who gives light to the rest of Klal Yisrael. Oyevav al bishboshes, his enemies I will cloak with shame. Ve'alav yatzitz nizro, and his crown will eternally shine. The beauty of this perek brings up the question of, why was it this way, that for 400 years, the place of the Beit HaMikdash was never known? And an answer that is brought by Rav Schwab in his Sefer Mayan Beit HaShoeva is, Yerushalayim was a secret. It was an unknown, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the desire, loves the yearning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to yearn for this place. As it says elsewhere in Tehillim, Ein Hashem al yireav lamiyachalim lechasdo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eye is on those who yearn, who wish for his chesed. There is this idea brought by Rav Kirzner in his beautiful Sefer on Tefillah, The Art of Jewish Prayer, in the bracha of Etzemach David, this idea that David ultimately was frustrated. He did not build the Beit HaMikdash. But the yearning that he expressed throughout his life is an actual spiritual entity that has its own life force. And whereas the Bayit, this physical house, was destroyed, the yearning that David packaged in the Sefer Tehillim that we keep coming back to is a living, eternal, spiritual entity that was never taken away from us. This is the perek of David and his dedication to the Bayit. It's the perek of the eternality of the Bayit and of the likewise linked eternality of Malchut Beit David. But it's also the story of the undying yearning of Klal Yisrael, of David, for the Beit HaMikdash. And it's a yearning we haven't left behind because we don't have that Bayit anymore. But it's also the beauty of the gift David gave us, of the yearning that was never fulfilled, which becomes the yearning that every single Jew is able to access, and thus hopefully to package our yearning in a sefer, to cry out our yearning, to sing our yearning in the words of David HaMelech, and thus hopefully be zocha, every single one of us, to stand in the bayit his yearning built. Thank you for studying the Ilui Nishmot, Helen Maskovitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Sheri Tapleta. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.